Final hour, Caroline Willie DeMace. Caroline will join us at the end of the hour for our famous segment,
Take It to the Bank.
Well, we'll even let Willie. Chase throw a pick in there.
You're putting a dent in the standings, by the way. You're coming back.
I've tried.
It is a new month. It's February.
But I didn't have a good week last week, though. Did I?
I believe you did. I can double check.
I don't think it was good.
I mean, you're like 20 points behind Carolina DeMace.
I've closed the gap. Closed the gap.
It was 40 at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about that.
But when does the game end? This is the other thing. Like, does the game, if it just never ends, then I just keep playing until I come back, and then I end the game.
Start of opening day for baseball. That's when we're going to restart the calendar
okay,
then.
Commissioner Nick is going to reset it at
Made
that
it
point.
Made it official.
There's some pretty big international hockey news.
Yes. Okay, we're going to talk a little Preds here, but there are some headline stories today. It's All-Star Weekend, of course,
yep.
So everybody's together. There's going to be a lot of trade winds blowing, but there have been some moves. But first and foremost, this is hot off the press, right?
Yeah, so this is from Elliot. The NHL and the NHLPA have officially announced the Four Nations face-off next February in Montreal and Boston. Canada versus Finland versus Sweden versus the U.S. There will not be an All-Star game next year. This will take place of the All-Star game. The desire is for a full World Cup of hockey in 2028 and 2032, and the NHL has officially announced that it will return to the Olympics in 2026 and 2030.
Yeah, this is what the players have been pushing for a while. It's taken a while to organize all of this, but they really wanted to go back to the Olympics.
Now this is
in Italy. Now Italy's got to get their act together with where they're going to play. They're building an arena for it and everything. It's pretty complicated here.
This is interesting too. He also says the IIHF is meeting next week to discuss if Russia will be allowed to play in upcoming international hockey events, and no decision on the 2026 Olympics.
Because they've been out of the mix for the last couple of years for obvious reasons. So that's another. That's why this battle of four countries does not include Russia.
Yeah,
that's obviously the reason.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So something to keep an eye on for sure.
And then earlier today, if you didn't see the Kings, who just, in my mind, kind of stole a game against the Predators. They were pretty fortunate. Our man Big Save Dave came up big. The Predators dominated pretty much every statistical category except the wrong one, which is the final score. The Kings won that game, but despite that, they fired their coach.
Yeah, they fired Todd McClellan today. He's been replaced by Jim Hiller on an interim basis, and they said that he'll finish the year. I'm not really that familiar with Jim Hiller, but Todd McClellan, I mean, he's
that's
had
not a, the that's not the guy we're but the trucks
no,
and everything
no,
that we hear
not,
about it.
That's
not
the
same
happy
Hiller
face truck. No, but Todd McClellan, I mean, he's been one of those. He's been around the block a couple times now. With
close friend of Brent Peterson's, going way back, and he has done a good job in San Jose, good job in Edmonton, good job in L.A. This is unfortunately part of the business.
I feel like he's that unfortunate coach. Like he's maybe Mike Mularkey's a good comparison. Like he comes in, he fixes the culture, he gets everything going right, but then it kind of hits that ceiling, and then you bring somebody else in that gets you over the hump. But
it's like a Marty Schottenheimer almost.
He
wins. Like he wins,
right.
But he hasn't won the whole thing. And they've just gotten stuck in the mud. They've won, I think, only three of the last 17 or something like that. A lot of overtime losses in there, but they're kind of stuck in neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to go ahead and make the change, which kind of brings us to where we are. Like the Predators are in a bye week, and so I'm sure there's some huddling up. There was a great interview that Jared did, his weekly interview with Barry Trotz, where a lot of the questions that you now have time to, you can stop the music for a minute. Right, you can.
Yeah.
You don't have another game, and then three games in the next four nights where you got to, just kind of roll with what you got. You can stop and evaluate, and then make some changes if you want to make them. So that's what you and I kind of thought about was, okay,
you'll have 31 games when you come back, right?
31 games. So yeah, I know it was a tough week, tough road trip. They lost. They blew the lead to Ottawa, and then they lost to the Kings, where they played well. All of that. It's getting more in the rear view. Now it's about what did you think you had before the season started and where are you? Andrew Burnett was asked that very question, which is I'm sure probably tough for him to answer right after a tough loss.
Yeah.
But he basically said this, and you tell me if I'm paraphrasing right. After 51 games, he kind of said, look, if you'd have told me we would have the record that we have, I would have said, okay. You know, we're right in the mix. We're not out of the playoff race. We're certainly not easily in the playoff race. It's doable with kind of no expectations. Like, Andrew Burnett's been the one saying, hey, I don't want to be called a rebuilding team. I think we can do well with this group. Right? Barry Trotz has taken more of the big picture to say, give me some time. I didn't say we were going to win. I didn't say we were trying to lose. You know, he doesn't want to use rebuilding either, but he's saying, look, I need a couple years here for people to be patient while I see what we've got. And I think after 51 games, I think it's fair to say they've overachieved a little bit.
They have. I think that it is fair to say that. I think it's also fair to say that if you're being completely honest with what this team is right now, they're inconsistent. They have not. I mean, they've had a couple of streaks here and there, but you know, there's nights where even in wins, like that's the other thing too. If you're strictly looking at the record, it's a little bit misleading. And I've heard Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz both say that. If you go and you watch some of those games that even they won, they didn't play great. Or games that they've lost, they actually did play pretty well.
They outplayed the opposition.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just the way the puck bounces sometimes. So I would say, you know, if I'm giving an honest assessment, they're inconsistent. But isn't that kind of expected, too, with where this team is in its development?
I feel like it's a different feeling than it was last year.
Sure. You still know what the plan is.
The inconsistent was
going.
A big tag last year, but it was with a little higher expectation, and it was a different kind of inconsistent. Like, for example, this year, you tell me, I have almost never come out of a game with this group and said, man, they just didn't seem like they were working very hard. They didn't seem like they had that edge. I feel like this team has really, and I think Ryan O'Reilly has a lot to do with this. I think Ryan McDonough, I feel like the serial winners have helped in this area where you walk away saying that's a team that's trying to do the right things, that's playing extremely hard, that's never going to just concede. They've had some games where the wheels have fallen off, right? They've had some bad games, but I haven't felt it's be a lack of work ethic.
Yeah, I agree. I think
they're good, and I think the system of Andrew Burnett has also elevated the group. And we were going to have a guest on today. We had to move him to next week, Dmitry Filipovich. When you look at the analytics, I think the system is overall giving them a better chance to win each and every night. And I'll give you an example. How many games have you watched this year as opposed to last year where the Predators are taking on water? They're giving up 40 shots. They're giving up 45 shots, and they're only getting 20, 25 shots. That's not happening nearly as often.
Nope.
Last year it was, okay, we're on our heels, UC, save
us.
Bail us out. And he did. They won, what, 8 or 9 games, 2-1 last year? And he had to be a magician. This year they're much better in the what are you getting on one end, what are you giving up on the other. I think they've made some improvements in that. Ironically, UC Saros hasn't been as lights out.
That was my next point. He's not quite what he usually is. And it's a down year, if you want
to
put it that way.
So far, yeah. You can't. The bar's high, but for him, it's definitely a down year.
But because of that, and I know we're going to talk about this, then, of course, that starts the conversation of, well, what do you do if you get to the deadline and you're out of it and Edmonton calls and says, hey, you know, what would you want for Saros? You know, we're going to go on a deep run here, or any team that needs a goalie, you know, are you willing to listen? Barry Trotz has said he's not quote unquote available, but he'll pick up the phone and he'll listen. And if he gets blown away, then, you know, that's obviously something you have to look at.
And what I feel like he's tried to do in interviews with Jared, interviews he's done with print media like Pierre LeBrun, is he said, look, don't waste your time if you're going to call me and say, we'll give you a bunch of future maybes, right? Even multiple first-round picks, if it's for a really good team and that pick is in the 20s, most likely, that's really not fair value. That's not what he's in. He's much – that the decision becomes easy. If those are the best offers, it's just sign Uzi Saros.
Like,
sign him back and keep him as your goalie, because – even if it's three first-round picks and they range from, say, 18 to 25,
No.
The percentage chance that you're going to get anything really significant for that is low.
I need a sure thing coming
Very
back.
Low. I need certainty coming back.
Like, okay, give me a team that you think is really good, but they need the goalie.
I'd say the Kings would be in that.
Okay.
I'd say the Devils would be in that.
Okay.
Oilers might have found their guy. That's the thing. Yeah, like, Stuart Skinner all of a sudden is becoming a story there. Like,
sure.
He's emerged as a guy that's really
they're
good.
They're one win away from tying it after a 10-day break, tying the record.
It's crazy. And
they're going to lose. I'm telling you right now.
Just because they had to take a break?
You want my take it to the bank?
Okay.
Who are they playing when they come back?
They play Vegas.
Vegas? I'd put everything you got on Vegas. It's going, because I can tell you right now, they're going
to
lose.
Ironically, it is Vegas. So
they've had 10 days to sit there and think on it.
Yeah. And if they beat Vegas, they go for the record against the
Ducks.
Right.
So this would just be to tie it. But
there's probably a few other teams you could find in there that feel like let's go for it. Let's go for the goalie.
So what would be from some of those teams the sure thing that would make, if you're Barry Trotz, would make you go, okay, I'll do it?
I don't think there's a lot of guys that those teams would want.
Right.
Want
Edmonton's
to trade.
Not giving you McDavid or Draisaitl.
No, of course not. And I don't even see another guy on that roster that has a chance to be a star that maybe isn't a star now. That's what you'd have to consider. Yeah.
You don't
is
want
somebody
Kane.
On the verge of stardom where they still feel like they can win with the goalie. It's a tough equation. I think it's unlikely that you would get the kind of offer that would really entice you for Saros. I think it's unlikely.
Yeah.
Now If you're talking Askarov, and maybe it's not this year, maybe it's another year, 2 years, maybe 3 years. I think you could have Askarov alongside of Saros for a couple years, have a great goaltending tandem.
Haven't we seen that somewhere before?
Yes, we did. But eventually, you might say, well, maybe it's a goalie on the verge of stardom in exchange for a center on the verge of stardom. So you don't have to do that deal now. So
right. This
is all stuff that you're asking yourself if you're Barry Trotz, how do I get from point A to point B? Point A is where we are now, an interesting mix of young players, some really steady veterans, but not enough firepower to really reach the top. How do I get the firepower I need over the next 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, and the biggest difference in this scenario, though, is like with Pekka Rinne and Uzi Saros, Pekka was older when he made it to the NHL. He was a late bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
And so Saros, you knew that he needed a few years to be backup. And remember, there was that 1 year that him and Mazanitz, they would kind of, you know, alternate them so Juice could go down and play in Milwaukee.
Right.
And, you know, then they'd bring him back up and all that stuff. And then he became the backup. And then the torch was naturally passed. It just eventually Saros got to the point where, hey, he's good enough to be the guy, and you saw it happen.
So
it would be a little different.
Let's give you the numbers on that, right? So Askarov, who's played, two games so far. He is 21.
Yep.
So when Saros was 21, he played 19 games. When he was 22, he played 23 games. When he was 23, he played 27 games. So that's 3 full years as the backup.
Yeah.
3 full years alongside of Pekka Rinne. So I could see that for Askarov if you wanted to do it that way.
Sure.
And you would say, well, you got to trade one of them. Calm down.
No.
If the right deal comes right. Now, Saros was not the prospect level that Askarov is.
That's also
right?
a big difference.
But he was also sitting there putting up 923, 925, 915 in 3 years as a backup. And people are like, dang.
Yeah.
Because he had to answer the questions. He's not as tall as most of the goalies, all of that stuff, and he was answering them in a big way. Askarov has got all of the ceiling tools that almost no goalie has in terms of just a prospect. It's like a fireballing, you know, pitcher who throws 99 miles an hour, and he's got a wicked slider, and he's got a great changeup, but you know, you got to refine that stuff. It takes some time. Can you get there? It doesn't mean anything if you don't know how to pitch and you don't know how to do it. And Askarov is still working on that stuff, but you hear Barry Trotz say it every time he's on. He's making progress. He's doing well with that stuff. He's coachable, right? So he looks like a special talent for sure.
Yeah, and the question is, do they think he's good enough next year, if you hang on to Saros, to come up and be the backup? Or, you know, do they think he needs another year? Which I know in people I've kind of chatted with, you know, about it, the sense is he might need another year in Milwaukee.
Maybe, but the way he keeps playing, like Milwaukee right now is on a heater.
Or do you find a situation where you have the third guy that you don't have to worry about getting picked up on waivers?
And that's what you just mentioned, that with Saros. They did have that for a year where they could send him down anytime you wanted and get him some games.
Right.
And you have another guy kind of fill in the gap as the emergency man, number
three.
Was that
when he was 21?
That's when he was 21.
So he ended up 19 games in the NHL.
Yeah, and he played another chunk of games for Milwaukee, so he got he got the minutes in there. He got the reps. So that would be an ideal thing if you could pull that off. But I absolutely could see Askarov being the backup next year. In my mind, I think he the way he's tracking right now, it'd be hard to tell him at this point.
Sure.
Hey, we still think he would be like, look at my numbers in the AHL. They're pretty
good.
But
in an ideal world, you have it where he can
go play some games down there. Yes, I agree.
Because he's not going to get as many up here, and that's where you find, you know, and that again leads to, if you're Barry Trotz and somebody calls and says, hey, you know, I'll give you this for Lankanen, you know, because Lankanen's been pretty good this year when he's played, you know, do you consider that and you know, try and start that process now?
Yeah,
you could get something for Lankanen.
Right. Because he's a free agent at the end of the year,
right.
And I think he has basically said, look, I think I can start in this league in the right spot.
I think he can, too. I don't think he's a 60-game-a-year guy, but I think –
could be a part of
40,
a pretty good tandem.
Five?
Right? He could be your 1B, maybe.
Yep.
That's intriguing. So does anybody jump out and say, okay, I think Lankanen's good enough to help us down the stretch?
Think if you're doing the – does so-and-so get traded game, I would put Lankanen as pretty good odds to get traded. Because I think you could get, you know, you're not going to get a first-round pick for him, but I think you could get something
for him. And where, because I think it's very likely that the Predators will not be out of it at the trade deadline. And not so much in it that you were like, oh, let's go add a bunch.
I think
like,
they're going to be in the same spot gonna
be
they were
in
that,
last
they're
year. They're going to be in that.
They're going to be
what's best for the team long term.
Yep.
We might add a guy if it's guys out there and you get a bargain on him, and they might subtract a guy if they feel like we can move on from this guy and have somebody else to fill the gap.
I think
they're going to be right on the bubble
like they were last
year at the
year.
Trade deadline.
I think it's the same spot, except now you already know what the direction is and those things. But I think they're going to be either just through the door with somebody trying to pull you out or knocking on the door.
I agree. So when we come back, we're going to grade what has happened with the players so far. What do we give them on the report card, the players who have played for the Predators to this point this year? Stay tuned. We're coming back with more. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game.
Tomasino, Evangelista, Parsonen, who's been down, Glass, you brought him up. Has it been disappointing that not one of those guys has really popped? Yeah,
it is a little bit. You know, they've popped in times. Like,
I mean, that Tomasino goal the other night was beautiful.
Yeah, they show you flashes. There's no question. But can you do it on a consistent basis? Early, Tommy Novak, I thought, came out and was putting up points left and right. Got hurt, and since then he's sort of flatlined a little bit. A guy like Parson, who we played out of position. The reason I put Parse down. I think he can play for us right now. He can contribute, but we took him out of the position that he's most comfortable in, and has had the most success in, is at center ice. And center ice is such a key area. So I talked to Parson. I said, I'm going to put you back to the position that you love, and the best place to do that is get you in Milwaukee doing that, so that you can do it up here when you get back, feeling it again and getting your confidence and getting your touches and all those reps that you need. And so that's what we did, because I really, truly believe that we're going to have to put him at center. And so that's sort of the process. So the next couple of weeks are going to be very telling. The next 30 days are probably going to be very telling. And in that final week before the trading deadline, I think things are going to happen. You know, there might be one or two trades beforehand because teams want to get ahead of it. That's fine. But I think the next 30 days, everybody's posturing. Everybody's seeing what all the deals that maybe could happen, how they can improve their team. There's going to be some injuries. There's going to be different situations that change. And then that last week will be pretty hectic, I think. So we're going to listen to everything. We have a lot of UFAs. I got Cole Smith signed. There's a couple other people that I want to talk to for sure and see where their camps are.
Okay, so that's a little synopsis of what he thinks of the young players, because I think, remember our whole thing about what's the plan?
We cut Barry off there.
He could. That's a great interview. And I will say, seriously, if you want to know what's going on with the Predators, listen to Jared's weekly interview with Barry. And you can find it on the podcast. It's very informative, for sure. And you'll hear more detail. Basically, the way he finishes that thought is, I'm either going to decide with some of these guys who are free agents into the year, am I going to sign him to a new deal like he did with Cole Smith, or let him walk in the summer, or try to get something for them at the trade deadline, knowing that there's a bunch of players in Milwaukee that are able to be brought up. So, with that in mind, what was the plan? Remember what's the plan?
What's the plan?
I don't know. Well, Barry Trotz, I think the plan is, I have Roman Josi. I have Philip Forsberg. I have UC Saros. I've brought in some serial winners to go with a good leadership group. And I'm going to leave some leeway for the young players to grow. I thought it was a great answer on Jared's question. Great question by Jared. Why hasn't any young player really blossomed? Because that hasn't happened, right? So that leads us into sort of what grade would you give each guy, right, on where they are after 51 games. So let's try to move this.
And I think the other thing, too, is with a lot of these guys, they're just hitting the point where they're knocking on 82 games, which is a season.
Yeah.
You know, in their career. So that's another thing to consider.
Right, and everybody's bar was set, I think, too, with the encouraging last couple months that a lot of those guys he mentioned had, like Glass and Novak in particular. Right, Evangelista, Tomasino.
Luke Evangelista has played 74 games in his career.
Yeah, and never a full season start to finish. And that's a challenge, no question about it. So let's go down and let's give a little report card. Let's just put it into trimesters, right? The third trimester, basically, which is the most important, is to come, right? 31 games to go. So, you know, let's give a grade for the first two trimesters, if you will. I never went to a school where you had
Predators,
trimesters.
Like,
did you?
Are we saying they're pregnant? Like, how? What do we do with here?
I never went to a school where there were trimesters.
No,
there,
like
I know
quarters.
There's quarters. You know the.
That's why, like,
the
trimester,
9 week periods,
I think of childbirth,
and then there, of course, the semesters. Yeah. So let's go down the list. So Philip Forsberg, All Star in Toronto,
A+.
51 point A+.
I think so.
I think an A for sure.
Yeah.
He's been good. Been consistent. He's been there. He has had a couple of lulls where the puck doesn't go in. But I think he's kind of on
like
the verge. He's due to have another. He's got another binge in him.
Well, it is February, so it could be
don't
February.
Say it.
Could
don't
be February.
Say it. I always everybody's. If you look statistically, he's only had like two good Februarys.
I know.
He's been injured in some of the. Anyway, let's not go there yet.
But I do. I will say.
But let's hope that there's another splurge coming here.
He's playing him. his overall full game, I think, has gotten better. Like, not
I
just
agree.
The offense. Like, he's
I
playing
agree.
Defense. He's laying hits. Like, he's playing everything. He's well rounded.
I completely agree. You say A plus. I say
I'll
A.
Say A. I'll go with you on that.
Yeah, just stick with your guns. Okay, Roman Josi, 45 points in 51 games.
I'm gonna say B plus for him. Now I think that. The people that say, like, oh, he's lost a step, like, what's wrong with him? You need to watch the bigger picture, because I think he's actually shown how good he really is, because he's changed his role in this new system, that he's not having to bring the puck, you know, across the blue line and into the offensive zone like he once did. Like, he's not having to play quarterback. He's actually playing defense and being a defenseman. So it took him a while to adjust to that. Andrew Brunette, when he was on with us last week, talked about that. So I would say B plus.
I think I'm right in the same boat with you. B plus, yep. I think, is a good one. He has adapted his game. It was a little bit of a slow start, but the numbers are really coming around. And I think there's room for a guy that you have the expectation of having an A year. I think he can still get to an A. Ryan O'Reilly.
I mean, I could go A.
I think it's not even close.
I think he's overachieved.
I think absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think if you wanted to give an A plus, he might be the A plus.
Yeah.
He's not Superman, right?
But he's everything
that they wanted him to be.
I'll say Nyquist is an A too. I think that top line has been
hard not to give Nyquist an A. It's based on your expectation level. He is probably the most surprising to me. I thought he would be steady, but he's been more than that. And he's very important to this team. Definitely an A for him. Colton Sissons.
It's hard not to say A. He's played.
This could be a career year for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing on the power play. I mean, I was talking to somebody that would know the other night and was like, Colton Sissons should be a fourth line center. And in that, the way he plays his game. But he can play all over the place.
And
he's done it at a really high level.
No doubt about it. And I think that's a good thing, but it's also illustrates where they are right now. Is that they're asking a lot. Colton Sissons some nights has been the second line center. That's a little above his level. Just like Nyquist is probably not, in a perfect world, a first line player. Even Ryan O'Reilly ideally probably is your number two center, right? That's what most people would say.
Sure.
So you're asking a lot of these guys. Which
they
is why,
don't have a true number one center on this roster.
That's what they're shooting for. Tommy Novak. Interesting one.
That
here,
one's a,
who's
that
a free
one's a,
agent at the end of the year. You heard him mention.
That one's a tough one because he had injuries that he had to deal with. He's only played 40 games, so he's missed 11 games. I'll go C plus.
I'm gonna say the same. I think the first trimester was closer to a B plus, and then the second trimester not so great.
Yeah,
flashes, glimpses, but I think C is probably fair.
Yeah.
On that. And
C plus
potential, I think, for a big finish. And he's playing for a contract. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
He's unrestricted at the end of the year. He's a guy that can score. He's got a unique skill set. Phil Tomasino. 7 goals, 13 assists in 40 games.
C plus.
I'd say C. And the inconsistency is a little maddening.
If he plays like he's been playing recently, like that goal the other night, like that to me is what he can be.
I agree. He scored played another really good game against the Kings. Maybe a better game against the Kings than he did against the Senators. Let's take example. Philadelphia, he was the hero in Philly, 2 goals. After that, for the next 4 games, I don't think he got a shot on goal.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing, that he's up and down. If he can just figure it out every night. It's not just Andrew Brunette seeing this, right? This is 2 different coaches, 2 different GMs seeing the same flashes of brilliance, but not enough every night to really gain the confidence and trust to put you out there for more time. That's where he needs to get. And I think he can get there. Still really young. Cole Smith.
Cole Smith, I'm going to say B.
Solid B. Solid B for him. I think career year for sure. Earned that next contract, and I think is going forward a very good value for $1 million a year for 2 more years. Cost certainty on that. Yeah. You can use any guy like that for that price. He will fit.
Yeah.
Alex Carrier, free agent at the end of the year.
C.
That's interesting. So do you sign him back? Does C get you a new contract here? At what price? And does somebody out there want Alex Carrier to be the finishing piece, an extra guy to help?
Yeah.
For a playoff run, I don't know. That's a good one.
I mean, look,
I think C's fair, maybe C plus. I think I would go C plus because I think he and Lauzon have good chemistry. I think that's been a good combo. He's missed 5 games, but that's not bad for him because that's been a big thing for him, is staying out there for the full 82. All right, Juuso Parsonen sent down.
Oh, that's C minus. That's been a tough one.
I'm gonna go C minus for him.
Yeah.
Just based on my expectations, I was really hoping, but he's still really young. So I'm not writing him off by any stretch. He's still very, very young. Michael McCarron.
I'll go solid B for him.
I agree. Solid B. He's really come to the rescue here because of some of the struggles of Glass, Parsonen, injury to Novak. What would they do without McCarron? Giving them 7 goals, 5 assists, a little toughness, size, wins a few faceoffs. He's been a nice placeholder there, stabilizer at the bottom of the lineup. Definitely a B. Ryan McDonagh.
B plus.
I say A minus. I think he's really. I think he's been much
Aren't
better.
B plus
sneaky
and A minus
good.
The same thing.
Very close. Very close. We're close.
Yeah.
I give him a little more nod because I really feel like last year was kind of a tumultuous year for him. Took him a while to get settled. This year, I think he's been really a steady rock working with Luke Shen or working with Roman Josi wherever they need him. He's played more minutes than he probably should be playing. His age, he's getting out there in the power play. That's not really ideal. He's out there in overtime. But I think given that, he's really done an excellent job. And I would love – it's just like Nyquist and O'Reilly. Ideally, you can win with a guy like that, but you're asking a lot of him at this stage of his career. But I go A-. All right, quickly, let's buzz through these. Yakov Trenin, free agent at the end of the season.
C minus.
Yeah. He's right on the border. Do you keep him? Do you not keep him? Kiefer Sherwood. Good start and then leveled off. Probably a B in the first trimester. Yeah. Or probably more of a D lately. Having trouble getting in the lineup. Yeah, C probably. Tyson Berry is very incomplete. We know the story with him. Dante Fabro is a big one. Do you keep him? Do you not? He's restricted at the end of the year. You can control his rights.
He and Carrier are kind of in the same boat.
I feel like. And we've been saying this for 2 years, and they're still together, but I feel like one of them's going to stay and one of them's going to go at the end of the year. So those guys you're probably going to hear at the trade deadline.
So here's what I'm going to say about him. I like Dante Fabro a lot, and I really feel like that it's probably time for the Preds to move on from him. And I say that in the sense that I think that he's got enough talent that he probably gets a change of scenery and he pops.
Okay.
But I just don't know if, you know, maybe coaching changes. I mean, he's gone through 3 head coaches in a short amount of time. Maybe that just hasn't worked for him, and I could see them moving on.
All right. Jeremy, we got to move quick here.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lauzon.
C plus.
I go higher. I go B. I think he's one of the better breakout players, leads the league in hits. I think he's been more disciplined, and he's shown more offensive skill. I think that's a good story on this team. Luke Shen.
B minus.
I give Luke Shen probably a D in the first semester, first trimester, because he was hurt, and then he got a very slow start. But if you quietly, he's starting to do a lot more. So I'm up to a C plus on him. Cody Glass, obviously probably about as low as you can get.
Yeah.
But the last 3 games have given me a lot of hope, so I'm going to give him an incomplete for all.
Well,
the
I'm
things.
Not. I'll say D plus.
D plus. No. All right, that's fair. If you're going to give a grade, D plus is fair for now. But I'm not losing hope on him. The last 3 games have
did
really.
You say we didn't do Evangelista, did we?
We haven't done Evangelista. I skipped him for some reason.
Yeah.
Give me Evangelista.
C. I think there's more.
C plus.
Think there's
C plus.
More.
But there's got to be more. None of these, all these CC pluses for the young group tells you something about the overall thing. And let's finish with UC Saros.
Man. B minus.
I go C.
You go C?
Yeah. Okay. I think there's a lot more from UC Saros. And that's exciting in some ways because it's like, this is not a C student. This is an A student that is getting a C, and hopefully by the end of the year, he'll be up to an A, and you're going to see some really exciting things. That's still my hope. I've been saying this for a couple weeks. The last 7 or 8 starts have been much better, although the other night probably wasn't his best. Kevin Lankinen, I think we all would say, has been a solid B backup, question. All right, time to take it to the bank. Caroline's going to join us for that. Thank you for listening in on our grades of the Predators' first 2 trimesters.
Yeah, they're very good.
Professor Donick and Professor McCabe, Professor Sue. All right, we're back to finish the show with the F&M Bank Take It to the Bank next. Here comes the
money. You can take that to the bank.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
All right. It is time for Take It to the Bank, brought to you by F&M Bank. Banking made easy on purpose. Check out one of their 20 locations, myfmbank.com. We do this every Friday and have a lot of fun. Limited time, but Caroline is with us. Caroline, this is your warm-up session here. Just a very, because I know you're just warming up. You got your whole show this afternoon, but thank you for joining us.
Of course, I wouldn't miss
for
this
time
for the world.
Slot. Yes, because this is a bitter
around.
Competition.
It is. I wouldn't miss this. And I'm disappointed in D-Mays for not scheduling his flight around Take It to the Bank.
I mean, seriously. Really?
Like, priorities.
Yeah. I mean, now, Nick, did he properly give you a Take It to the Bank?
He did give me a Take It to the Bank. And okay. We don't have enough time to review, so we're just going to get to the picks.
Ooh,
he
okay.
has UT to win by at least 5 points and Dalton Connect to have over 18 points and 5 rebounds. So that's a hefty margin from D-Mays.
Wow. But Dalton Connect, I mean, he ought to. I'm thinking that's pretty easy. 18, I would say.
18. I would be interested to see if he has scored that few points in any SEC game this season.
That would be something good.
Not
to
a very
at.
High DD there. For
not a high degree of difficulty there.
I think it's because he had a bad week. He had a 2 last week. That's probably why. He wants something
What were the scores last week?
So last week, Caroline had a 7. She did pretty well. Yes. Willie, unfortunately, he had a 2 as well. And then as for myself, I had a 7. So
see, he got all my hopes up. He was messing with my mind because I was like, I didn't do well last week. Nick goes, you're coming back. Willie, you're coming back.
I mean, you're closing the gap. You're at 95 points while Caroline's at the top with 121. So, I mean, it's doable. So right. This week, go ahead quickly.
This week, I'm going to take Dalton Connect at least 25 points. And I'm going to take Zakai Ziegler with a little bit of a bounce back game. He had only 2 points against South Carolina. I'm going to say that Zakai Ziegler has double digit points against Kentucky on Saturday. I am also going to take Duke to beat North Carolina. Just straight up Duke to beat North Carolina.
Whoa.
Wow. Great minds think alike. I'm looking at these same two games for my Take It to the Bank.
It's a great weekend of college basketball.
Yes. And I said this on the show yesterday. I'm ready to catch up. Now that the Predators are on a little bit of a break, I'm going to spend some time catching up on college hoops for sure and watching more games than I have. I've watched when I can, but it's hard during the grind. Okay. I say Tennessee to beat Kentucky straight up. I'm not going any points like D-Mace is. I'm not going to call the point margin. This one's a toss-up, really. At Rupp, that's a toss-up.
It's a tough place to play.
I'm going Tennessee. The line is going to be one something like that,
it's
probably.
It's going to be a pick'em. I haven't checked, but I would guess it's a pick'em. I would say maybe Kentucky minus 1.5.
On ESPN, they don't have a line right now. So a lot of times it doesn't come out until the day of the game. On some of the, I'm sure some of the sites you look at, you could probably get it. But I'm trusting that it's not going to be. I'm just calling Kentucky to. I mean, I'm Tennessee to win.
Okay.
I will say Connect. I'm going to up Caroline a little bit, and I'm going to say 27.
Ooh.
27 or more for Connect.
The little prices right up in here. I like that. Not too shabby.
And this is going to be the question for Tennessee. They've got to find other guys, and they've got to make sure that he doesn't just become the whole show. They do have other guys like Ziegler and Josiah Jordan-James.
Jonas Adu.
Thes Khabib's been there. These guys are good players,
it's
right? You got to make sure the flow.
Good supporting cast.
Right, and so it's got to flow. I'm going to take North Carolina to beat Duke.
Ooh.
Okay. Well, as for myself, I'm going to go with the NFC-AFC All-Star Pro Bowl game. I'm going to go with the AFC to win. This flag football, go AFC to win.
Just You're a flag football expert, are you?
I mean, might as well at this point. I mean, that's what the game is.
There's no other football to cheer for this weekend.
No, that's going to be mine, and then probably let's go with Mississippi State to win in basketball.
Oh, all right. They got Bama.
Hail State.
They got
let's
Bama.
Do it.
They Tough did it. Place to win.
They took down Auburn. They can take down Bama.
All right, we'll be back Monday at 11 a.m. Myself and Teron Davenport in for Jared Stillman coming up next.